Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning here on this foggy day. The fog is lifted, though, and you can see here, make sure your headlights are on. And as you're shopping for those last-minute turkey and dressing additions here, please be careful. In the meantime, welcome once again to the Tuesday Talk Show. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. But then the phone number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue, and you're certainly welcome to join us here live on KAJO Radio with a question or comment for our guest today. Our guest today, final Tuesday of the month, the Josephine County Commissioners are in studio. And gentlemen, welcome once again as we get ready for Thanksgiving. No long-term travel plans here. I see everybody is in attendance right now. We have a full board sitting here. Let's just start like we normally do with Chair John West. Chair, are you dealing with on a daily basis right now with your constituents?
We made it through the elections, had massive rainstorm. I think everybody's trying to get dry, and we're looking for Thanksgiving, and I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope that if you're able to reach out and have a good time on this long time here with friends and family over Thanksgiving, and if you're able to help out a neighbor, do that. But as far as business with the county, we're continuing on. We've been going through our policy manuals, personnel, and admin. A lot of this stuff's 30 years old, and we put in, I think, 5 hours yesterday on it, and we've been putting a lot of time into it. So we're trying to get a lot of that done and caught up, and so the commissioners are going to work right to the end of the year and get everything done they can, so we're not putting all the burden on the new commissioners coming in.
All right. Thank you very much, John. Mr. Bartshaker, what are you dealing with on a daily basis for your constituents?
Same thing he is.
All right. And the same for me, too. Right. Yeah. Wow.
All right. So we've heard from all three. All right. Well, let's just get started. First of all, a significant agenda on your business session tomorrow morning, headed by one that I've never seen come up on your business session before, and that's the declaration of a potential conflict of interest, and there are no details in the packet. Can someone explain to me what's going on, or do we have to tune in tomorrow?
So I put that on recently. It's going to go on every agenda item because we seem to have a group of folks that believe every time we discuss business of the county that we might have a potential conflict of interest. So they file ethics charges or make claims on in newspaper articles or whatever that, you know. But the problem is we're all citizens of Josephine County, and every decision we make affects us just like it does anyone else. So, it's turned into a weapon. It's weaponized. And so that's my take on it. And so now the board will go through the whole agenda and declare, a possible potential, even if there's not one there, because these people want to waste taxpayer money. Trying to shoot darts at us. So
this will appear on every agenda here in the foreseeable
future.
From here on out. And it may be as simple as, does anyone declare a potential conflict of interest on today's business agenda?
Yes, sir.
And it could be a quick no, and we're on to the regular business.
Yeah, each commissioner will have to say, go through it and say, I may have a potential conflict of interest on item number four, item number one, or all of it. At this point, it's just got out of hand.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's move on to the agenda right now. And suddenly we're talking about the Flying Lark and the lease and the sale agreement. What is the situation here right now? What are we let's review, first of all, that the sale is going to let me see. I forget the name of the church in particular.
River Valley.
River Valley. The sale is going to River Valley, and now there's a lease agreement. Explain to us exactly what's going on with this lease agreement as opposed to the sale agreement. And I think we're talking about really two different areas, are we not?
So the sale agreement is the Lark itself and
that's
the property.
That's the building.
Yeah, the building and the property the Lark's on, with some parking. And then the lease agreement is parking, some parking on east and west side of the LARC. And so what they needed was about at least 300 parking spots. And so we've accommodated that in those two parking areas on both sides of the LARC. And so that's why it's broke up into two pieces.
All right. The sale agreement also outlined in your packet. If I have this correct, about $500,000 cash coming in and then holding the rest in a promissory note. Is that accurate?
No.
Okay.
So are you talking about the sale
the
lease?
No, okay. The sale.
The sale. I'll let Commissioner Bearchiger discuss this one because I don't know how far we get into it right yet because it's not closed.
Yeah, I think we ought to back off a little bit on this because this is stuff that we talk about in the executive session. So until it's finalized, I think we need to kind of back away a little bit, Chuck. Not trying to avoid your question, but
It's on your agenda tomorrow.
It's
outlined in the packet.
I know, but the devil's in the details.
The details.
The devil's in the details on this, and I think they're being formalized right now.
All right. So in spite of what we have in front of us on that packet,
are going to carry some of that, but how much and stuff like that, I don't think we're ready to talk about that outside of executive session.
All right. Then let's talk about the lease agreement now for the additional parking spaces, up to 300 parking spaces.
Right.
And as I understood it, looking just real briefly through your packet, that was about $750 a month. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and we're anticipating them eventually buying that. So there's some lot line adjustments that have to take place and some other things that have to be there's some issues that have to be cleaned up, and then they'll wind up purchasing everything.
Can we be more specific on those issues?
Well, there's an old easement in there that we're trying to clear up that it's only 10 feet wide and doesn't belong to us. That goes right through the parking lot. We're trying to clean all that up. Plus, like I said, there's a lot line adjustment that has to take place, so they don't own half of the starting of the racetrack and stuff like that. So there's some of that stuff. So that's why they're just leasing that from us right now. There's multiple lots involved in this transaction.
I can imagine that. How is this going to affect parking for the YMCA?
It doesn't affect the parking from the YMCA.
Okay, it won't detract from it at all.
No, and I think the church has opened a conversation that the YMCA can use some of their parking during the week.
Oh, all right. So during the week when there's no church services going on.
But that's not in the contract. That's something between the church and the YMCA.
Okay, so that's between River Valley and the Y.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that helps, and that's all going to be dealt with tomorrow, or at least partially dealt with tomorrow. During the business session.
We hope they have all the language done today, is what we're hoping.
Okay.
And we'll hear about it this afternoon, correct?
Yes.
We'll
have it all worked out so that it'll be transparent to the public tomorrow in the weekly business session. And so we're moving forward. We're getting escrow papers. We're ready for the closing in the next several days. So.
Oh, okay. Mr. Black.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
You had a quick me too on the opening statements. Are you in line with everything that's been said so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I know something that's been on our table here the last couple of months is a policy review, the admin and the personnel policy. That's taken quite a bit of time. That's something that the county hasn't revised some of the sections for over a decade, and because statutes changing statewide and federal law that needed to be revised, and that's something that's been taking up quite a bit of our time right now.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Let's continue. The next question out of the box has to be the land sale that was proposed. Not everything went, and I think we initially reported that there were no sales made, but I think that was incorrect, right?
Yeah, most everything sold. There's a couple packets that did not sell. They're still sellable. We can sell them over the counter, and we're thinking about putting them up for auction again, adjusting some of the prices and putting them up for auction. But most everything, I'm pretty happy what happened. It's not unusual that everything doesn't sell in our auctions. And but I'm pretty happy with the stuff that did sell.
On that land sale auction out in the Williams area, as I understand most of the parcels there, how much was realized out of that, and where does it go?
Oh, you're asking me to pull numbers out of
Yeah, I am.
Guess what? It ain't happening.
Okay. Right. Generally, yeah. Does anyone have a hard number to
throw? It was all above our minimum bid, so we're very happy with that.
All right, and where does that money eventually go to?
It goes back into buying more land for our forest program.
So it will go back into purchasing land that is probably more valuable?
On those parcels. There's some parcels that we sold at that auction that we obtained by foreclosure, and that'll be designated to go to parks or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But those lands weren't forest lands.
Yeah,
those were sheriff. That was done
with foreclosure
in the sheriff,
sales.
Foreclosure sales. So only the forest land sales goes back in to buy in new timber land for the forestry department. The money cannot be spent for administration or anything else. And we're hoping to buy on the Coast Range and in a better growing site, so we get two or three harvests for every one harvest down here. And we also would like to move our timberlands out of the quote fire zone, because the government doesn't manage their lands down here and get it where it's better protected for the people.
All right. We're going to continue. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here. Let's clear something up here. I asked a question about the sale of the Flying Lark, and I said $500,000. I should have said $5 million. I just misplaced a comma in there. So
a very important one.
Well, only $450,000 worth.
Yes.
If my math is correct, and that's high math, and that's unusual for me at any rate. Does that change any comment?
No. The particulars are still being worked out by the attorneys as we're talking right now, because they have to present this to us.
This afternoon. Okay.
Yes.
All right,
and that's just for clarification. That's the promissory note that's you're reading on there,
not the purchase.
That's not the total purchase price.
Okay, so now that's still just shy of $10 million.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Okay, I got the commas in the right spot that time. In a way, apologize for that. At any rate, we were talking a little bit about the timber sale here, and that comes back to the Pipe Fork property, which didn't receive a bid, which was almost was that a surprise?
It was a surprise to me. I mean, it's bundled with one other property, I think.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, it's bundled with another piece of property, and I was surprised we didn't receive any bids on it. Now, I know the Pipe Fork Coalition out there wants that 320, and maybe they didn't want to bid on the whole packet, but I would have thought that they would have tried to work with a timber company or something, and where they both could have bought it, and the Pipe Fork Coalition could have got theirs, and the timber company could have got theirs. But I guess that didn't happen. So, I don't know what's going on.
All right. Did the funding sources dry up for the Pipe Fork Coalition, or do they still have that money available to make the sale?
I have no idea.
Okay. Just thought we'd ask if anybody...
They make the comments that their money's still there, so I'm only going by what they say.
All right. Where does that leave us with the Pipe Fork property? That leaves several options. It can go back up for auction. It can go back up for auction. Can be sold across the board. What is the status here?
That's it. It's for sale.
Mm-hmm.
It is for sale, and we can sell it across the counter, or we could put it back up for auction.
All right. And who's that decision made? By the board?
Mm-hmm.
By the board. So if I want to bid on it or tell you I want to buy it, how do I approach that? It all comes before the board and the public?
Yep. If you want to buy it across the counter, you got to come to the Board of County Commissioners office and submit an offer to our property manager.
All right. Refresh my memory. Do we know what the evaluation of that property is? Just the Pipe Fork, not the other?
The package. That's the controversy. There's a yellow book appraisal. There's our appraisal. So, it's like 2.5, 2.7 million, depends on whose appraisal you're looking at. But that package was $3 million.
$3,959,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Now that's primarily the Pipe Fork property and the attached property.
The Thompson Creek
property.
They're not contiguous, but we bundled the properties because Our consultant said that it's easier to sell them that way.
And they're close. They're not very far apart.
Yeah.
All right. So in the same general area.
But, yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that's one to keep an eye on right now. How will that be handled? Obviously, it's got to be a public situation. Will we see that in a business session, or can it be done outside of that?
Over the counter is over the counter. So the statutes say for us to dispose of property, it has to go to a sheriff's sale, with the exception of if we sell it to a nonprofit or another government entity. After it goes to an auction, if nobody buys it, then we can sell it over the counter.
All right. If it goes to a nonprofit here, does that take it off the tax rolls?
Yeah. If they elect to take it off.
All right. So that's up to the nonprofit.
Yep.
To take it off the tax rolls.
Mm-hmm. They probably will.
And most nonprofits very seldom ever have their property on the tax rolls.
Hence the word nonprofit.
Yes.
Yeah. Put that in quotes. Air quotes here.
Or if it's a government entity buys it, it goes off the tax rolls. It's off the tax rolls right now.
All right. Well, yeah. Obviously, it's off the tax rolls right now if it's county-owned property.
Right.
Obviously, we're missing some tax money there that go to any one of a number of places. All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We've talked about two or three of the upcoming topics that you're going to be facing. What else is on your agenda right now? What are you doing?
I want to back up and talk about these conflict of interest, because it's harassment by a group of people, okay? And that's why, so out of abundance of caution, that we're going to, let me tell you how it works in the legislature. In the legislature, if you're in a class, you don't have to say that you have a conflict of interest. So let me give you an example. If I'm in the legislature and I'm working on farm policy for anybody that owns a farm, and I own a farm, I'm in a class with all the other farms, okay? So I don't have to say anything. I don't have to. But say I'm working on legislation that only affects my farm and maybe a couple other farms, okay, that are very specific, then I have to say I have a conflict of interest. But you're also mandated to vote, even though you have a conflict.
As long as it's declared.
As long as it's declared. But now we've been harassed so much, and every decision we make in Josephine County affects the three of us because we live in Josephine County, okay? And so it's just been harassment, harassment, harassment. So the sheriff finally says, you know what? We'll just declare a conflict of interest every single meeting if that's what you want.
Potential conflict.
Yeah, potential. Yeah, there's a different. Well, it's direct or potential. So the language that I always used in the Senate, and I didn't have to do it very often, was out of abundance of caution, I may have a conflict of interest.
Okay.
And you go ahead and vote.
So okay.
This is just, you know, this is people that don't like you, who weaponize this system to make your life miserable. That's what is going on.
All right. All right. Anders, did you want to weigh in on this conflict of interest? I know you had a couple of words there.
No, not specifically. This is all new to me, and so I'm learning at the same time, but I think it's good counsel for what we're doing now, and I appreciate the chair putting that on the agenda at every meeting to remind us, because it's important not only that we do that, but also to remind us that there are people out there that are just have malicious intent.
And basically it's protecting everybody to make sure everything's above board. Is it a fair statement?
What it does is it just hope, you know, anybody can file an ethics complaint. And all the ethics complaints against me since I was in the Senate, when I was the leader and we did the walkout, I don't know how many I had, 29, I think it was, I don't know how many. And then I've had ethics complaints here at Josephine County, and people report, oh, you know, Bear Sugar has these ethics, he's got 9 ethics complaints. Every single one has been dismissed, but I still have ethics complaints, somebody reports. And it happens to other politicians too. So they weaponize that. You know, the conversation is Bear Sugar has ethics complaints. They never say Bear Sugar's had 9 ethics complaints and they're all dismissed. It's always just Bear Sugar has ethics complaints. It's just they've weaponized the system. And it saddens me because it's actually a very good system. And there's nine people on the Ethics Commission, and they do a very good job at looking at this. But look at the time and the money spent, because there has to be an investigation and you have to have hearings and all kinds of things like that. And it's sad that people take advantage of a very good system for, like Commissioner Black has said, might be malicious intent.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KHAO Radio, and we invite you to continue to listen. We've got news coming up here momentarily, and after the top of the hour news, we'll open up the phone lines and let you air your question or comments to our guests. Once again, that phone number is 541-472-1270, and when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Once again, that phone number, 541-472-1270. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and heard all around the world on KAJO.com. Tuesday Talk Show continues here on KAJO Radio. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your ears and invite your voices also here. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest today, Josephine County Commissioners, is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we will put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment directly to those souls here. And we welcome once again to the microphones Commission Chair John West and Herman Bartschiger and Andres Blick. Gentlemen, once again, thank you very much for your attendance here today and your candor so far. We certainly welcome your presence here and your expertise. What's your vision for Josephine County going through the end of the year and into next year, Dick? Can you look into your crystal ball and say, well, we've charted a specific direction, Mr. West?
So we've the board's moving forward with cleaning up the policy, trying to get all that stuff up to 2024-25. We're continuing cost-cutting efficiencies in the county. And I don't know if you've seen last Wednesday, we passed the rural fire district. And that is becoming, I was on the phone with the gentleman coming into the talk show. We're getting I'm getting a great response. The citizens are at least the ones that are calling me are happy that we did the fire district, because Applegate wanted to extend their fire district 7 miles and come this way and take in 776 households. And those people do not want to pay, or the bulk of them that are calling me don't want to pay $2.92 per thousand on their property tax. They want to continue to be able to subscribe to Rural Metro and pay what they pay. They're happy with their fire service. And so the board, and I'm going to speak for myself, and hopefully I don't overspeak for any of the rest of the board, but when we put in that fire district, it does not raise your property taxes, everyone in that fire district. The board will be the board till May, and then it will be five citizens will be voted on by the people. They will run the fire district. The fire district, then what we do is we're meeting state statute. Last year in the short session, the state legislators do a lot of crazy things, and one thing they did was say, well, if you don't belong to a fire district, you could have some different changes in your building codes, and then if another district wants to move their district boundaries and take you in, you could be subject to their property tax levy without voting. Now, that being said, the board is trying to look out for those 776 people and let them continue to have those rights. And I expect this to be in the courts sometime, and we'll find out. But the board is going to stick up for every one of those property owners and protect them so they're not under the burden of that property tax as long as we can.
So. Now, what is the next step in determining the board for the fire district? I understand there's something coming up relatively soon. Is that correct?
Every election in May for a board.
Oh, yeah.
So
not until May?
Us three is the interim board until the citizens select a board.
All right. Who are they voting on? Do we have a slate of candidates? Is that happening yet? Do you have to file your own name?
That process hasn't started yet.
All right. Okay. What is that process?
They'll have to file at the county clerk's office for those positions. I think they're all at large, and they have an election. And then they become the board.
All right. If we're talking about an election in May, that means they need to be have their paperwork filled out by sometime in early March. Is that accurate?
Yeah, sometime. I don't know what the date is, but you're right. It's about there.
It's sometime in early March, around the 6th or 7th, about the first week in March somewhere, and the date changes from year to year, but that's pretty close.
So there'd be five positions, and you can fill out for one of the five positions.
All right. Any prerequisites for being on the board or just a
any prerequisites to be president of the United States outside of being born in the U.S. and being 35 years of age?
Yeah, well.
a voter inside the district boundaries. That's all it requires.
A voter or a resident?
A voter. Because okay. if you're not registered to vote, well, I don't know.
No, it's a resident.
Gotta have a resident within the district.
Yeah. Resident inside the district. My mistake. Yep.
Okay, yep. So resident inside the district and a registered voter.
I thought you thought that they needed to be qualified. You used the word qualified.
Well, yeah. There are some areas where
there's some people think that commissioners aren't qualified. You know? So you got to be careful, Chuck.
I'm going to leave that one alone, as a matter of fact, here.
All right.
Or I'll find my name on a ballot somewhere.
And
I cannot be recalled. I am not an
elected
official.
Wouldn't that be something to be voted in and not even run? Somebody just wrote your name in enough times?
I'll bet that's happened. We'll have to research that.
Someone
run a Google search out there.
Yeah, there you go.
At any rate, because you normally write-in campaigns fail horrifically. At any rate. So, ladies and gentlemen, what else is on your agenda here? What
FEMA.
Are you dealing?
Let's talk about FEMA.
FEMA, Federal Emergency Management.
Okay, so in Josephine County, we have about 3,600 properties that are in the floodplain. And the floodplain, there's two parts to a floodplain. There's the floodway, which is moving water, and the flood fringe, which is standing water. And so after Katrina, now that's going back a few years.
Yes.
Now, after Katrina, it cost so much money that FEMA went and remapped the entire United States of all the areas that could flood. And to build in those areas, you have to build some specifications of FEMA. If a county elects not to do that, not enforce the building codes of FEMA, then the people in that county won't be eligible for national flood insurance through FEMA, which is really not the best insurance in the world. I didn't know it. It's tapped out at $250,000. That's it, and that's and $500,000 for a business. So it's not fantastic flood insurance. So we did that, and every county in Oregon did that. And it was pretty reasonable. If you're in the floodway, you had to have an engineer's report that you would, it's called a no-rise study, and you wouldn't raise the level of the flood if you built a particular piece of property. And if you're in the flood fringe, that you really only had to make sure that your living floor, your finished floor, was a foot higher than the 100-year floodplain. So that was reasonable. Well, now the environmentalists got a hold of it.
Here we go.
So now if you want to build a home in the floodway or floodplain, you got to do all of those things. Plus, you have to do an environmental assessment and an endangered species study.
Okay. All right. And that adds how much, too?
Yeah. Good question. So I was at a meeting on this last Wednesday or last week, Wednesday, and I met with a bunch of other counties and some other groups that are fighting this. And we're hoping that the Trump administration puts a stop to it. So we're hoping that happens. But it was won in a lawsuit back in 2016, and the issue was that FEMA wasn't addressing building in these floodwaters that could affect the orca whale.
Okay. We're talking about the Rogue River here affecting the orca whale if it floods.
It's also salmonoid. It's a salmonoid habitat, so okay. There's other things. But the prime driver was orca whales. I found that a little bit fascinating.
Or the bald eagle, or the yellow-bellied lizard,
sure.
Or the frog that only has six legs instead of eight or whatever. I don't know.
But it just puts another layer, another restriction on building in a state where the governor says, we need more houses. Does not make any sense to me.
Can you give us a visual representation of where these boundaries lie, the two different levels of flood, the flowing water and the standing water?
All the rivers in Josephine County, not just the Applegate, the Rogue, and the Illinois, but there's a lot of Sucker Creek. There's a lot of other tributaries that have flood zones in them, so all of them. You can go to the FEMA map and look. Okay.
And it'll outline exactly where those areas are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're Gilbert Creek, for instance.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, it won't necessarily outline exactly where those are. You have to remember when FEMA draws these lines, and when they've done them in the past, they've done them with basically a crayon. And they've made lots of assumptions because from my own experience, I've noticed that you can challenge it. Because the way the methodology that they've used is not as accurate as it could be is if you would hire a consultant to review it and then argue it that it is not within those boundaries. So when you say that they automatically are, I think there can be some challenges to that. But it's a little bit of voodoo that they use there to figure that stuff out because it's really bizarre how they calculate it.
I think what the terminology we use is arbitrary lines that they've drawn. Okay.
Yeah, it ought to go through here. Yes. All right.
Because if you look at the map and you look at the topography, it doesn't take a lead brick to fall on you to understand that it doesn't make sense. But that's the federal government.
All right. What is the process to challenge that? Do you know?
I've been talking with Congressman Cliff Bentz, and I've been talking to some folks back in D.C., and we're building a coalition here in Oregon with some counties because there's some counties. Now, you know, I thought Josephine County was, you know, bad because there's about 3,600 properties. But you go up in Tillamook and some of the counties on the coast, holy moly, they're really got some big issues. So I just hope the Trump administration, you know, Trump said, what was it? For every regulation we pass, we have to get rid of 10?
25.
Do I hear 30? Do I have 50?
Yeah. I hope he lives up to it because this is insanity. It really is.
So, Chuck, I talked with some different legal counsels, and they say something that's going to absolutely upset some of this stuff is the Chevron doctrine. There's a bunch of this that is going to change some of this, and it'll have to go through the courts, and there's going to be – people aren't going to take this sitting down. They're fed up with government and their overreach.
All right. Well, I think we've seen that in the recent vote. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, and we'll continue in just a moment.
Get ready to beat the clock this Black Friday.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest today, Josephine County Commissioners, 541-472-1270. And we'll let you air your question live and on the air. In the meantime, let's go back to our board right now. Gentlemen, lots of issues are facing the county here right now. Let's deal with finances so far. That always is a topic that needs to be addressed. Governments across the state are cutting budgets and at the same time looking for more revenues. And
why do you want to ruin the holiday season with this discussion, Chuck?
Well, I need to know how much I can spend for Christmas.
Oh,
and how much you're going to reach into my pocket next year. There are two questions right there.
Yeah. You know, Douglas County, what was the commissioner's name, John?
Chris.
Yeah. He did a presentation, and Douglas County is about a year and a half behind Josephine County. They've had a reserve, but they're blowing through the reserve pretty fast. And I think I think I'll take the latitude to say Jackson County's right in there too. So, you know, it's just, it's what has happened is we, two things have happened. One is the revenue is diminishing. Okay. And that's one side of the ledger. And the other side of the ledger is this inflation we have. It's costing more to do business. So it's a double whammy in all counties and cities. And I think that's going to be the discussion you hear quite frequently going into the future.
All right. So in terms of finances, no real answers right now. But at the same time, you guys have to pass a balanced budget by law. Is that correct?
Yeah, but we've done something different. We've gotten in front of this. We've anticipated it, and we have gotten in front of it. And I wouldn't say we have a hiring freeze right now in Josephine County, but anytime we need to, you know, somebody retires, we need to replace them. We take a good look. Do we want to hire another person that we may not be able to afford in the future? So, and we've done some things on efficiency. And I think we're all of the attitude, we just have to tighten our belts and make the machine run. And the old attitude is, you know, how do we go out to the citizen and get more money? I don't think the citizen wants to hear that anymore.
I've been dealing with, from an advertising aspect, lots of businesses here. And in times of tight budgets, first thing they do is reduce service. Have we in that hiring freeze or whatever it is that putting the microscope on every position, are we reducing any services to the constituents?
We have not had to shut down any departments yet.
He said yet. Okay. And he's nodding his head yes. We have to do that on the radio because you can't see it, ladies and gentlemen. We have yet to put in a mic or a camera here, and we're fighting against it just because it'd have to be on a wide angle, and we're all pretty wide.
The other, there's all kinds of caveats though, that we're also facing. We're in some interesting times. It's like we've been dealing with septic tank inspectors, so they have to be certified, trained, and all that. And we had some retired, so we don't have any. And we've went a couple months now, and it's hard to find somebody qualified for that job.
Ah, all right. Let's move just ahead a little bit since we're talking about budget. First of all, Josephine County's budget did receive some recent recognition as from the National Association. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do we want to pass along congratulations to anyone here?
Our finance director and her whole staff. Wonderful staff, wonderful people, did a wonderful job. They got many awards. They get awards every year. They just do a wonderful job. I wouldn't want their job. I mean, you go in there and there's back and forth. People are working back and forth, and they go through audits. They go through this. They got each department's budget and how they're spending and how their projections is. Are they going to make it to the June 30th? And Sandy Novak does a wonderful job. She, our finance director, and kudos to her and her staff, wonderful staff. I mean, people don't see all the work they do from on the outside. So
now they've got to submit all of their work to a national association that reviews counties all across the nation, and came out with the top award.
Yeah, and that was out of 1,700 organizations that the auditors reviewed. So it's a pretty high honor for our county to get our staff to receive that type of recognition. That's pretty awesome.
All right. Gentlemen, we're down to our last 6 minutes here on the radio. Is there something that we haven't dealt with that the public needs to know about, what's happening on a daily basis or what's happening this afternoon or what's happening tomorrow during the business session?
Hey, we could use some help out of our animal shelter. We've got all kinds of animals out there up for adoption. And, you know, anybody that's considering getting a pet or something, they might want to check out our animal shelter. It would help us out. For some reason, we have an overabundance of animals out there, and they'd really like to have some homes.
All right. No question about that. We've adopted pets out of there during our lifetime here a couple of times. So Josephine County Animal Shelter could use some help. Anything else, John, on your mind?
Starting after the first year, we're going to be extending the water and sewer out at the airports. And so people need to be aware there's going to be construction out there going out into the airport and extending that water and sewer. So there's two ways of getting in and out of there. And we got everything set, so hopefully everything runs smooth. But that's something that's been a long time overdue. And that's one thing that the folks are going to see. So, it's wintertime. Watch out for the kids and, always at all the schools and school events. And just remember, our phones are always open. Call us, email us, whatever. We want to hear from the public.
All right. Andrus, I haven't heard from you here. What should people take away from today's program, or what do they need to know that we haven't dealt with?
I'd like to reiterate what Chair West said, is that our door's open, always open. We invite comments and criticism, both positive and, of course, unfortunately, we have people that are unhappy sometimes. I think that's our main function as commissioners, that we act as a liaison. And quite frankly, I've said this ever since I was appointed back in July, I'm surprised there aren't more people engaged in government. I know before I became a commissioner, I believed a pretty good relationship with the commissioners that were in office at the time for the last 10, 15 years. And I just don't see that involvement as much as I had thought or as I had expected. So I'd like to encourage people that to reach out to us, phone, email, come down to the office, make arrangements to meet with us. I'm more than happy to discuss whatever concerns they have.
All right. Any particular areas that people should be concerned with right now, Andrus?
Anything that's on their mind that involves county government. I'm all ears.
All right.
Bring it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Last comment. Anybody, raise your hand.
He may invite criticism. I don't. I accept it, but I don't invite it.
Okay.
I'm still naive.
Oh, he's the new kid on the block, ladies and gentlemen. Commissioners, thank you very much. We appreciate your attendance here once a month, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you back here a little earlier next month just because of the holiday situation. We'll have you here on the 17th of December. I believe that's the third Thursday of the month. Normally that's a county day anyway, but this time it'll be your turn on the block here. Once again, December 17th. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 FM. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.